Well, good morning. If you put the words customer service in your mind, what kind of pictures do you get? You get a picture like I did of a telephone never, never land, or machines that lie to you, or maybe you've run across those folks who really do help. They'll try real hard. They can't always do what you'd like them to do, but they try real hard. And they work so hard at it, it seems like. And other times there are those that are annoyed because you broke up their coffee break. But still, there are people who, whoops, excuse me. Well, I broke that. Call customer service. There you go. But then there are people who serve us in other ways. I think of firefighters and policemen and the medical people and EMTs and all those sort of people that go way out of their ways. They picked a job. They do in a job that they want to do, and they're getting paid for it. But they go way beyond that. It's more than just the jobs. It's a service. And, you know, God's looking for servants, too. God doesn't want slaves. If he wanted slaves, we'd be all little yellow things that squeak a lot, like minions. We'd all be a bunch of minions. Just sort of a cute idea, but wouldn't work real well. But God wants servants. He doesn't want slaves. So he gives us a choice. You know, we accept our salvation, but then we have a choice whether we're going to serve him or not. You know, it's sometimes something we do reluctantly. I think about Moses when he saw the burning bush, and he kept on thinking about every excuse in the world so he wouldn't have to do what God asked him to do. Until God was almost said, "Don't push it, Moses." And Moses said, "Oh, can't you get somebody else to do it? I don't wanna." God said, "No, I want you to do it." And so Moses became a servant, did what he wanted to do. And, you know, we all know that saying no to God's not a good idea. I mean, look at Jonah. He said no, and he became a fish dinner, or dinner for a fish, I should say. And he even made the fish sick eventually. But, you know, God couldn't, and still he ended up doing what God wanted him to do. So, you know, the title of the sermon is "You Gotta Serve Somebody," which happens to be the title of a Bob Dylan song, which I won't play because Bob Dylan's sort of hard to take for some people. I listened to it last night. And, you know, it's in the song he's giving all these types of different people and everything. He said, you know, sooner or later you gotta choose. You're gonna serve the devil, or you're gonna serve the Lord. Got to serve somebody. And I thought about that, and I thought, you know, serving the Lord has to be a better deal. Because if you serve Satan, you're going to end up being a slave, not a servant. He's going to own you. God will give you a choice. He will make things so good for you. Now, you know, you can say, okay, I'll do it. I'll do what you want me to, God. And then you agree to do it, and then you're thinking, well, okay, what am I supposed to do? You know, are you going to wait for a text message from God? Which would be, you already got one. It's called the Bible. But not on your phone, but text would be neat. But there are some things you can do to try to find out what does he want you to do? And there are so many opportunities for service in the church and out of the church. Let's see here. No, I skipped something. Okay. So what are some of the things you can do to pray to find out what God wants you to do? Well, the obvious thing is pray about it. Ask God, what do you want me to do? And listen for the answer. Don't always think you're going to get the answer you want either. He'll tell you what he wants you to do, and he'll not only tell you what he wants you to do, but he'll give you the tools to do it or the people to do it. You know, you can ask other people in the church especially, what do you think I should do? What am I good at? What can I do? The big thing is in Romans 12, 6 through 8, Paul lists some gifts. You know, you can find out what your spiritual gifts are. And I lost the paper. Is it up there? No. Hang on for a second. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it isn't serving, then serve. If it isn't teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is in giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. You know, all these things, we all have some kind of spiritual gift. And many of us have bits and pieces of some of these gifts that we use at different times. And like any gift, it doesn't do any good if you have it and you don't use it. You have to go out and use it, practice a little bit, and get better, get used to using it. You know, and another thing you can think about too is what kind of talents do you have? What are you good at? Can you sing? Are you a good gardener? Can you deal with crying babies? You know, I mean, I try to think of that, you know, and nobody's ever going to ask me to sing in the choir. Because if I sing, people think of small animals being mistreated. So, but there are other things I can do. And I try to do them and talk, and I enjoy it. But that might not be your thing. Maybe you're just, you know, maybe you just like talking to people one-on-one. Or maybe you like praying for people. These are all things that you know, that we like to do. And just because you like to do it doesn't mean it's not a gift and it's not serving the Lord. Because that's one of my titles further down. There's, you know, and then I said talents and what do you like to do? You know, some things you may like to do, but you're just not very good at it, but you like to do it. So why not? Just go out and do it and see what you can do. And you can serve the Lord that way. Because I'm going to skip ahead of here a little bit because this makes more sense then. The way you serve the Lord is by serving others. We're his hands. We're his feet. We're his mouth. We're that's how he deals with a lot of people. We serve him by serving others. And all these ways are ways we can do that. When we learn to use what tools he's given us and what interest and what enthusiasm, we can do a lot of great things for him. And, you know, and also, drop down one more, is churchy and not churchy service. I realize that's a pretty technical, theological term, but, you know, we all know pretty much about churchy, what I call churchy. You know, and that's everyday things. You know, like playing in the band or printing bulletins or getting communion ready or the quilt ministry. Both making the quilts and just going and tying a knot. Every time you tie a knot, you're serving the Lord and the other person. That's one of the neat things about serving the Lord. Actually, there's three people when you serve the Lord. You're serving the person you're trying to help. You're serving the Lord, and you're serving yourself too a little bit. It feels good to do that. And you know, and we think about those things in churchy. And a big group from my Sunday school class goes to Matthew 25, I think monthly or something like that. And that's serving him. It's, you know, it's all these things that are sort of church related, but not exactly church sponsored. And now, non-churchy, that one's a little harder because we don't think about it as serving the Lord, but sometimes just holding the door open for someone, smiling at the cashier at Kroger when she tells you your bill's $300, Things like that. You know, trying to comfort a child that's just, you know, crying their brains out. Or just being nice to people. Serving the Lord. And it's a simple thing. But sometimes we're not so good at it. We're not used to it. We're afraid to be nice. Or we're willing to be nice to a lady in a wheelchair. We'll hold the door open for her. But if some thug with dreads and the tattoos comes in, we won't hold the door open for him. But if you're serving Jesus, you serve everybody. You don't pick who you're going to help. And, you know, and there's so many opportunities, even because of the boys being in sports and everything, I think of doing concession stands and stuff like that. I mean, it's just simple things. It's not churchy. And, you know, and sometimes you have to remind yourself that, yeah, okay, God, I'll do it for you. I don't want to do it, but I'll do it for you. And he knows. You know, we don't have to be wildly enthusiastic about everything he wants us to do. But we have to be obedient and do it. And like I said, we serve the Lord by serving others. You know, first of all, it's our Christian brothers and sisters, because they're family. We need to take care of family first. You know, and then, you know, there's so many ways we do that here now with bereavement meals and the quilt ministry. And I remember when my wife was in the hospital, or hospital, nursing home, my Sunday school class made us dinners. It's their fault I'm fat. But oh my goodness. We ate good for a long time. And they did a lot of work, and they never complained or anything. Just, can I get you more? Can I do more? You know, and that's just one example of the things that people do. Or when the power went out a few weeks ago, and they know my wife's on oxygen and all these medical things, and I had people call a couple times to check to make sure we were okay, that we need anything. You know, but we can do that to other people too. We can call, check, do you need anything? Can I do anything? You know, how are you? Maybe even talk to them for a while. Excuse me. You know, I think of, I've seen so many lonely people that wish somebody would talk to them. Just to say hi. You know, don't have to be their best friend. Don't have to solve all their problems. Just say hi. Or smile. You know, if nothing else, it'll just make them wonder what you're up to. But on the other hand, it'll make them smile back more often than not. You know, and make a day a little bit brighter. Won't make it better, but brighter. And so many times, you know, it's, I keep on saying, you know, people that work like in the Kroger or in fast food things and stuff, they always, you know, they're so used to people being grumpy and unfriendly and unkind that they seem surprised when somebody is kind and friendly. And that's the way we should be. Because, you know, we shouldn't be picky about who we serve, too. We serve, you know, of course, like I said, the church people first. But then the others, even the people that don't deserve it, you know, got themselves in the mess, you know, or hung over because they drank so much, doesn't mean we don't give them an aspirin. You know, we don't pray that the hangover goes away, but we give them an aspirin. Or, someone that finds them in trouble and it's totally of their own making. It doesn't mean we don't sympathize with them or at least help them what we can. And do what we can for them. You know, and I said earlier, it's easier to help, to send, you know, help the little kids or the suffering people wherever, the people that are in the tornadoes and all that. But sometimes we need to be aware that we can also serve by helping those who will take advantage of us. Because we're not really, serving them is not the point. Serving the Lord's the point. And so when we serve them, we're serving him. They may not know it. And we may not always think real clearly about it. Other than sometimes we have to remind ourselves that we're doing it for the Lord. Push it too far. We don't start feeling, look how I suffer. I do all this and nobody appreciates me and nobody cares and nobody says thank you and big deal. You know, we still need to do it because who are you doing it for? He knows and he will help. And so many times when we're doing those sort of things, and we get in the habit of serving and trying to still look at ourselves, look at other people, and what can I do for them? Be it church people or, the people at large, that it becomes a way of life. We do it so much that we don't even have to think about it anymore. We just do it. It's like, I hate to use a habit because it's more something that becomes part of us. And it's not something that we do part-time. I'm going to be good today, but tomorrow I'm going to be rotten. Or I've had people, I shouldn't confess this, but I've had people let them cut in line or something for some reason. They say, well, thank you. I said, that's okay. That's my good deed for the day. Now I can be a snot the rest of the day. Sometimes it pays to get those things out of the way early. Then you can, makes the day simpler sometimes. But really, you can't. We're not going to be on all the time. We can't take care of the whole world. We can't meet everyone's needs, nor should we. And realize that just because people ask us for something doesn't mean we have to say yes. Because I've used this example before, that a hand that's always open is just as deformed as a hand that's always closed. There's got to be a balance somewhere. A yes and no, and in our lives too. We can get so focused on taking care of other people and doing what we can for them and whatever, we forget to take care of ourselves sometimes, because that's just as important. Because if you don't take care of yourself, you're gonna just wear yourself out. The other thing about being a servant too is I keep on saying about doing things for people and whatever, kids, whatever. But sometimes a way to serve is let other people do things for you, even when you know you could do it better. You ever have a 5-year-old try to help you make cookies and crack eggs? And it's real hard not to just grab their little hands and take the eggs and put them in yourself. You let them make the cookie. Let them make a mess. But they'll learn from that, and you're giving to them. And sometimes when people want to help you and maybe do things that you could do, but you just let them do it because it makes them feel better. My Danzen, when he started cutting our grass, I was a little nervous about it the first time, so I sat on the porch and watched and didn't realize you could cut grass in random patterns. Just once this way, once that way, once the other way. And you know, and the hardest part is not to start screaming, you know. And be gentle, so you missed a spot. You missed half the yard. But then I let him go, and he learned. And he did it. He learned from that because I let him do it. So sometimes we need to let people do things for us, even though we can do it better, because we're blessing them. You know, and even just when we become a lives of service and an attitude of service, that it becomes such a part of us that we don't think about it. We just do it. You know, if somebody mentions to us, well, you did this and you did a wonderful service and all that, and you look and you go, who, me? I don't remember doing that. Remember what Jesus said when I was hungry, you fed me, and when you clothed me, and all these things. And they go, well, when did I do that for you? And Jesus said, every time you did it for anybody, you did it for me. You did it for me. And keep that in mind. That's one of the key things, that anytime we do it for anybody, we do it for him. So, you know, serving the Lord becomes a way of life. We serve the Lord by serving others. But then we come down to, okay, I'm going to do all these things, and I'm going to be that. What's in it for me? What do I get out of this? Well, there are a number of things, both in this life and the next. And in this life, you know, it feels good to make a difference. It feels good to do nice things for people. It just, well, for most people, unless, you know, I guess there are some people that aren't happy if they got to do something for somebody. But it feels good for people to take care of them. Oh, thank you. See, a perfect example of service. Excuse me. You know, it's so there's short term. There's, you know, and it feels good too when people say thank you. I mean, not that you have to do it for that reason, but when people appreciate what you do for them, it feels good. You know, and there's nothing wrong with feeling good about that. If you do it solely for that purpose, then maybe we got a problem. But when you want to serve him, just like your faith in him, you don't have to think about it all the time. It's such a part of you, or it should be. It should always be a part of you. You know, and you know, it feels good to have that attitude where you can go around and you feel like, well, I can do stuff for people. I don't have to be afraid that they're going to take advantage of me because I don't care. I know who I'm doing it for. And I don't have to be worried about them being mean to me or ungrateful or whatever. It doesn't matter. Because the one I'm really doing it for is Jesus. And I'm reminded, I forget who said it. Someone said, what does Jesus look like? And the person said, look at the people around you. If you want to do things for him, do it for them. Of course, then, this life doesn't go on forever. Eventually, we come to our eternal reward. You know, and like I said, let's see, where is it now? I printed all these things out and put them in order and like shuffled like a deck of cards. Now I don't know where anything is. Excuse me again. Now, like I said earlier, being a servant can be hard now in this life, in these times, when there are so many things that are negative and so many people that want to take you for whatever they got and so many things. You know, and while God wants us to be servants, he doesn't want to expect us to be doormats either or to be stupid. But like I said, first we keep our focus in this world on him and what who I'm doing it for, who we're doing it for. But then, sooner or later, it's going to end and we got to go report, as it were. You know, and God's going to look at how we've lived our lives and if we're saved and what did you do after you were saved? What did you do with it? You know, we can tell, well, I tried to be a servant for you. And I can see him just looking and saying, really? And like it said, Matthew 25:21, it says, his master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Man, won't that be cool? You go to heaven and you're being judged and gives and God ends up giving you a more or less high five and attaboy. You know, you did good. You did real good. And I go back to, I guess because we're his children, I think of kids. And that, you know, no matter what they do, you tell them they did something really good or they did a good job, and their faces will light up and they'll be so happy. And you know, and that is the way it is for us. No matter how hard it gets sometimes, and you know, and how good it is sometimes, the bottom line is I want to hear that well done. I want to hear that good job. It's going to make it all worth it then. It's going to make it all worth it. Pray with me, please. Father, we thank you that you allow us to be your servants, that you allow us to be a part to help take care of your creation and to people in it and to make a difference in it all. Father, we ask that you help us to be better at it and to be more better servants, both to you and those around us. And Lord, help us to earn that well done. And help us to be worthy of it. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.